Last time on Wanderlust. Let's talk about how connected we think the world is in this most modern age, where we're playing now.
All the way out to Smoky Banks. That's going to be like once a week, maybe even less than that.
The National Eco-Orbs had the most interreliance, which probably, like she said, is why they probably have the most constant transit between them. How do we think people communicate? How do we think people are entertained? What do people do with their leisure time in general in this world?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Is there's a short-range communication.
Yes.
But not necessarily long distance.
But like between eco-herbs, I think you'd have to go to an internet cafe.
I was going to say, I think that mediators have individual ones.
Responsibility is everyone's right. And everyone's rights are our responsibility.
That entertainment has moved into a much more open outdoor things.
Oh, yeah.
It's, got like the amphitheater or like how people set up in parks now.
Part of the gardens, there is a kindergarten. And so elementary school, kids go to the kindergarten for garden time, right? Learning how the eco-herb functions is like taught at kindergarten. Within like rights as a member of society, you're an adult when you're around 14 or 15. So you work 20 hours a week in the eco-herb. If you want to learn a trade, you start as an apprentice. You have to seek education in that. You get qualified in it eventually as like some kind of journeyman.
I think the holidays are kind of the more uniting thread between all of them.
Well, there was another thing we talked about being unified, and I still think should be, which is the obstacle courses. All right, zooming in, to Smoky Banks. A brief tour from me of essential things that I know are going to be there. It is a small coastal eco-herb that is a destination for two main things. The first one is academics. So I mentioned this before. It has a university. It has a staff of people that work there whose main focus is antiquity. They study history because very close to the eco-herb are old castle-y ruins. You know, this is a Stonehenge-y type of place. Their origins are unknown. There's tons of mythology and stories about them, and a lot of kind of speculative history about where these things came from, which spawns its own questionable mythology or whatever about what is off in the wilds, what birthed these weird old ruins that are prehistoric almost. You know, everyone's got a different story about what they are, and there's people that are obsessed with learning about them, right? That is also a huge tourist trap. So the economy of the eco-herb does have to kind of serve people coming in and out more than is maybe typical. I think that tourism assumes that you're going to have kind of a transient population of people working in your gardens, because people are going to show up and be like, okay, we're here to work and then eat, and you have to kind of sustain that. So there's maybe a little bit more food load on your eco-herb than what is typical. And then I think the other thing that is unique to your eco-herb is its presence on the coast, which means two things. One, recreation, you know, surfing, boating. Mandy, what was the kind of thing you came up with that young people do?
Solar-powered hoverboards.
Yeah, solar-powered, like, boarding, I think, would be huge on the water as well, you know? So, kind of like, you know, those sail boards that you see, like those, but they have a little motor and, you know, solar collectors on them.
Is it Treasure Planet?
I don't know. Mandy, do you imagine those being super flying, or is it more like just off the ground a little
No,
bit?
No, I imagine it more like hovering.
Based on
the technology that we've talked about, it's at the moment, it's pretty limiting.
Sorry, I mean, does it look like Treasure Planet, where it's like a board with a giant sail on it?
It can.
Yeah, I think that, especially out on the water, I think those are common and pretty fast. Oh, you know, and that's like kind of the young hot rodding thing, is having really fast, really dangerous boards, both on land and on the water. So tourism is a huge part of going out to the coast, as it always is. And then the other half of that is that I think, given the presence of a university, you also have an early example of aquatic-based agriculture. So like saltwater-based grains or other, you know, really good for human consumption foods, almost to the point where that's almost an export, where you can kind of assist other local ecoherbs if they start struggling with food.
That's probably why we're able to sustain the tourism that we are, is because we have this source of food.
Right, because you have a larger garden that is stretching out onto the water.
Yeah.
I like the idea of also it's pioneering, like, sea cattle.
It would be like a new way of having, yeah, like, you would have life on those gardens floating out there that would be, yeah, new and able to live on that, for sure.
Right, where it's like, we're really good at harvesting the kelp. Lobster equivalent.
Yeah, yeah.
No, not kelp, like animals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Crayfish.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of crayfish, and we're like, fish, we are pioneering.
Saltwater fish, kelp.
Right, we're able to pioneer, like, doing more sustainable sea life cattling.
Right, right. Because you have a food source out there, and you're a little bit more involved with your oceans than most other ecoherbs are. So there's kind of like a sciencey part of that. As well as a historical part of that, that makes your ecoherb unique. The other facet of this that I will say is required just from me is, there is a sheriff whose job is not so much enforcement with force as it is investigation. He's like half an I would say he is one third investigator, one third park ranger, in that the presence of tourism kind of requires you guys to be a little bit more rigid about your walls and keeping people from wandering off into the forest, because there is like this part of the wild sort of that exists that isn't really part of the ecoherb, but is studied by the university and that people want to go and see. So he's partially a park ranger. And then the last third of it is when crimes do happen, he's kind of like the posse coordinator. You know, if you have to run someone out of town or take care of a creature attacking it, he's like a coordinator for getting people together to do that.
I was also wondering if he mediates in the strict sense of the word of like grievances between parties.
Oh, that gets into an interesting question. I think it depends. I think that if it's immediate and in, I like this idea. Let me run this by you guys. I like the idea of it being really common for small crimes to be resolved in the moment and amicably. Like, that's a really big focus, is that
yes.
You don't escalate things beyond this unless you really have to, right? So if there's a brawl, he's the one that shows up and is like, all right, talk this out, figure it out, like, go over there, cool off, come back, apologize, yeah. Shake hands, go your separate ways, you know?
I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah. I think there's a huge focus on that, and he's the person that has to be, like, in the moment dealing with someone, like, red-faced, screaming, yeah. Like, he stepped on my, you know, like, that, he's the guy that has to show up there and be like, all right, guys.
Yeah.
Take a breath, cool off, you know, have a minute, maybe you've been overserved. But then I think if it goes further than that, or it's more complicated than that, that gets into like city council business.
Sure.
Is the sheriff, is that like a hobby of his, like, or skill?
Elected official.
Or do elected officials still work in the garden? Is my question.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I think yes, with the caveat of he carries a radio. If there's an emergency, he runs off.
Okay. And if he runs off, like, if there's an emergency, does that still count as his, like, garden time, you know, like, if he's not sloughing off?
Yeah, I would think so, yeah. Because I think that maybe that position is, like, being on duty as part of his, like, garden, in that, like, keeping people from killing each other is necessary.
No, that was specifically my question, is, like, the elected officials, which is a small group of people, like, do they count as gardening if they're doing elected official business? You know, not that they're slacking off, but like,
I imagine that they don't necessarily have specific, like, office hours. Like, they're not 9 to 5 doing their elected job. Like, their elected job probably doesn't take up a huge portion of their time, but their elected job is important, and so that, like, takes priority over other things they could be doing. So if, like, something comes up, like, or like, if there is a section of time that they have to be doing that job, that counts as their like community service, whatever. That counts as their hours.
Okay.
But, and then in the case of like with the sheriff, if he's out doing his gardening and he gets called, that just replaces what his duty is for that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or for that time.
I think I agree with that.
Yeah. If you agree with that, Cody, I'm cool with that. That's what I was thinking, where it's like, oh, if I'm a city planner and I have to build a new road and like plant, make the plans for that, that counts as gardening time.
No, I actually disagree with that. I think that would count as your skill. So like,
okay,
let's say your skill is a stonemason and you're the head person for the stonemasons and you're trying to talk with the gardens because they need a new path. That would count as you practicing your skill, which is
okay.
Logistics around being a stonemason and then doing the stonemason work.
Okay, I'm cool with that.
Garden is like baseline, everybody does it. And then your specialization.
Yeah, the difference with the sheriff is this could be emergency.
Yeah, yeah. Your specialization is beyond that, time beyond that.
Yeah.
But if you're an elected official, you could be called away from garden time. And that's considered just part of being an elected official.
Same thing, like you guys probably have EMTs, right? If you have someone who's a medic, like if they get called out while they're in the garden, they're not like now off the clock. It's like, okay, this is gardening.
Right. You don't have to make up that time because you were called away for an emergency.
Right. Right.
But everybody is expected to spend time gardening the way the children in kindergarten are, the way young adults are, the way older people are, the way elderly are.
Zach did allude to an interesting situation where someone in one of those positions, which granted, they probably wouldn't be in that position very long if they did this, is someone like, let's say the sheriff is just bored gardening and he's just like, oh, I totally got an emergency, got to run. And he goes and just slacks off the rest of the day.
I think you would not be elected an official.
Right.
Yeah, you wouldn't get elected again.
Well, I think the thing is the society's just not like that. It's hard for me to imagine the society of having enough free time that I don't feel like I need to like cut down on how much I work. You know, like with my commute and stuff, it's like, well, I'm working 9 to 10 hours a day.
See, I have to think of the most cynical form of this because I'm playing a character that is trying not to fit in the system.
Yeah, yeah, you are.
Right. No, that's good. That's good to think of like how your character would fit.
Right. But I think in...
Yeah, let me tell you who's going to be visiting your shop a lot with a clipboard is the sheriff.
Exactly. I was already thinking, it's like, I'm probably pretty well acquainted with the sheriff.
Yeah. Yeah, because you just slot into a part of society that is morally dubious, which is like tourist. Because you like make like kind of touristy knickknacks, right?
Well, we'll get to that when we get to character introductions.
Yeah.
But yeah,
yeah, we'll get to that. That's next episode.
It's a little tidbit of what character I'm going to be playing.
All right, so now this is the part where I let you guys run wild. So I said at a minimum, everyone has to come up with a person and a place. So who wants to go first?
I want to start with a place.
All right,
I want to start with a person.
Zach had his hands up first. So, Zach, give me a place.
So, the place that I have is there's a lighthouse. Since we're Foggy Banks, it is super important that people don't run into... I also imagine that we have, like, kind of cliff sides around us. Like, there's definitely a beach. Yeah,
definitely.
There's a lot of cliff sides and rocks. So, there's definitely a lighthouse. And manning that is super important.
I really like that idea. I really like that idea a lot. Ooh, do you think that's a skill? And what I mean by that is, do you think that there is a guild of lighthouse keepers, or do you think that is part of gardens? Now, let me pull back a little bit. What that is saying is, within the structure of the city, do you think there are people called lighthouse keepers that vie for their, you know, for their trade, or do you think that is just an integrated thing that everyone learns how to run the lighthouse?
I think it is both. I think during the day, like when it's stormy weather out, it is everyone learns how to learn around the lighthouse in case there's a storm. I think at nighttime it is considered a skill because someone has to stay up during the night shift to keep the lighthouse operating. And I think that is paid for.
That does bring up an interesting question though, because yeah, lighthouses have to run day and night and someone needs to be watching it. Those people that are watching it at night, what do they do during the... I assume they're sleeping during the day, but what does that mean they do for their community service?
I think that they have, like, so the way I imagine this is there is basically one person that works the lighthouse mainly. Like, it's his skill, or there's a couple of people that work it as their skill, and they work shorter hours during the day. They work only like, so 20 hours a week is like what, 4 hours a day for 5 days? So they work like 3 hours a day for however many days that would be, 3 times 7. So they work like 3 or 2.5 hours a day and get to do it, like tack it on where they can. But their main thing is they work at the night. Like, they stay up all night and work the lighthouse.
Or could it be a shift system, like, where you have...
It would be that.
Where it's like, okay, you work these three nights on the lighthouse at night. Then you get 2 days off to adjust your sleep schedule. Then you have 4 days doing community stuff, and then another how many ever days off.
Like, let me make a slightly different suggestion here, which is working the gardens is not a set hours. It's not like between 10 a.m. and whatever. Probably most people work a normal business hour because that just kind of happens within society. But you can definitely work in the gardens at different times, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if you work if you have a more nocturnal life, you're not cutting yourself short of sleep. You just have different awake hours than maybe the majority of society. But that would also be true if you're a person whose skill is cooking at night. You're going to have different hours. You know, you're not going to wake up as early as someone who, you know, has a different skill, right?
Or you're like making bread at 4 a.m. and then you're going to bed and then other people are eating it.
Right. Yeah. Like, the garden shift does not have to be these 4 hours. It's all day, and it's just you are expected to work in there at different times. So I think the lighthouse keepers are just frequently more like nocturnal and vampiric, but not like overworked or working truncated hours.
So then I would say there is a guild of lighthouse keepers. They are the people who work like the 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. shifts, typically. Like, they're the people who make sure the lighthouse is lit whenever it's dark. Everyone is trained to do the lighthouse because those people are off when they're sleeping during the day. And
I like that idea.
So everyone is trained how to work the lighthouse in case a storm rolls in at 10 a.m. and the lighthouse keepers are sleeping.
Yeah.
Like, someone needs to go light the lighthouse so that ships don't crash.
Okay.
I also like the idea of it being like a pseudo Coast Guard position, like a lookout of making, you know, if accidents do happen on the beach or on the coast, you know, that they're kind of the ones responsible for calling that out and, you know, rallying a rescue or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I also think I like the idea that they're kind of like... Harbor Masters is too... Maybe Harbor Masters, where they're kind of like are scheduling the ferries docking there to a certain extent. And I like the idea that ferries typically then only dock at dawn or dusk when the lighthouse keepers are awake.
Oh, sure. That kind of makes sense. Yeah.
Here's a question. We mentioned like having a beach and having those guys be responsible for anything that happens out there as well. Does the eco-herb walls like... contain the beach, or is that outside of the walls? Like, it basically,
I think they would contain the beach.
Okay, so basically, it's like a U shape of walls, including the beach.
And I would also say that your eco-herb probably has less walls than is maybe typical because it was a very far away eco-herb, like very, very far away. You are in the boonies, so I think that probably you have some walls around where there used to be rail into the city. And then, like, where the ruins are, those walls have maybe degraded and just haven't been super well kept. So yours is more open to the wild than is probably typical of one that saw conflict with the national eco-herbs. But good question. I would imagine it being a U. All right, Caitlin, person.
I have people and places.
Do the person right now.
You can do both. It's whatever, you know.
Okay, well, their place is basically where they work.
It's fine. Yeah, I'm less structured about this part.
Yeah, so the first person is the PA person. So when there's like PA announcements.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
And I don't know if this would be out of like the sheriff's office or like a governmental office. But this person is like young and quirky, and like she's got all of her homemade jewelry, and that's like a skill that she has, is making jewelry. She's always listening to like new music. She's in a band. She like will tell you about her new band, right? Like, she feels like every time you see her, she's always in a new band.
I like this idea.
And she's very like peppy and extroverted and loves being like the announcer for people because it means she gets to interact with a lot of people.
I
like that.
Can I add something to your character?
What,
Caitlin?
Is that?
She has one side of her head shaved because she just puts up her like the giant headphones only to that ear.
Okay, she's got like the one ear ones.
Yeah. So, or she has like two ear ones, like all of our gaming headsets, but she only puts up one ear. So she's shaved like...
She looks like a radio jock.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's, she has one side of her head shaved so that she can put up to that ear.
Yeah.
And it's like her hair isn't in the way.
Yep, that is exactly her. So I don't know where that would be located.
I think that like in the government building, like I don't know if there'd be a whole sheriff's office, but that would be part probably of, you know, I don't know what we want to call it. The governmental palace. That seems wrong.
Town hall.
Yeah, town hall.
And she also knows like what's happening. Like if you need news, she is the person who knows it. Like whether she's announcing that news or not, she knows. Yeah.
So she's the kind of the town gossip without the gossip moniker.
Yeah, without the like the morality associated with that.
Right. She's not like a gossip. She's like almost, I don't know, like town historian, kind of like living history, like what's going on right now.
Sounds more like a city planner or like an event planner for the city. Like she knows what's going on.
I think more like event planner. Like she just knows stuff that's happening.
Yeah, she's like the dispatcher.
Yeah.
I like that.
So if you need to know like when something is happening or like what's coming up, she's the person to talk to.
I have one suggestion for her, which is she is pioneering right now the field of running a radio show, like for the EcoWorld.
Yes.
So like 30 minutes a day, she's getting away with being like, and now on the, you know, whatever show she's, you know, playing music or whatever, has people come into the studio.
Absolutely. A lot of it is her own music. Yes.
Yeah.
I imagine that every week is like a different, like a completely different radio show. It's like this week she plays her own music. Next week she's just interviewing people. The week after she's doing deep dives into random topics. Like she can't pick what she wants to do.
Yeah.
And I imagine early in this process, she basically just started talking to a CB radio. Into whatever the radio assistant thing we had. She just started talking into it on a particular channel and just not like expecting someone to talk back to her, which theoretically they could at the beginning until they got better, like different equipment for this. And so you just learned if you want to hear, does she have a name? Have you given her a name yet?
I have not given her a name.
Okay. If you want to hear her talk about random stuff, go to channel 37.
Right.
Can I suggest the name Willow?
Sure. Willow the jockey.
That feels appropriate.
Willow the DJ. Awesome.
DJ Willow.
DJ Willow.
And I will say, Vinny, as a correction to that, she doesn't run the radio. She runs the PA. This is going out on the PA.
Yeah.
Oh, this... See, I was imagining she wouldn't want to do it on the PA because I think the EcoWorld residents would not stand for that, just having stuff blasting over the PA all the time.
I like the idea of this being, like, kind of... gray, that it's like
they like suffer it for half an hour.
She has the microphone and she does a really good job, so it's like, well, I guess we're listening to her music for, you know what I mean, like when you go downtown and they're playing Christmas music like 24/7. She does that every once in a while, you know.
I like the idea that people were getting upset about it, but then an emergency happened in the middle of her show once and she completely stopped her show and like took care of her job.
And then went right back into it.
And she, like, saved the town. And so now everyone's like, okay, you can play whatever music you want.
Yeah, I mean, she's well-liked. Yeah, it's, like, one of those things where it's, like, a little bit of an eye roll, but also it's, like, gosh, she's really good at this, though. You know?
Well,
yeah.
The thing is also just, like, everyone trusts her. Like, if an emergency happened, everyone trusts her to stop doing her radio show and do her job and then get back to her radio show. Where it's not, like... Oh, she would be like, well, I'm doing my radio show. I don't have to do my job right now.
Gosh dang it, Caitlin. Now I want to do like, that's kind of what I want to do for the intro of all the episodes now is her like talking about the town.
Do it.
Is Willow? Yeah. Well, okay. So I didn't mean to like for her to like take up 20 minutes, but so that Willow the DJ is my one NPC.
I love Willow.
My other NPC is Maggie. And she is... an older woman. She's got lots of wrinkles. She's got long gray hair and a braid. She is brusque and blunt, and she repairs backpacks. She is like seamstress extraordinaire, but primarily outdoor sort of things. So like any sort of like tent or shelter or backpack, not like interior things, but like external stitching that needs repairs that need to be done. She is the person to talk to.
I like her a lot. I already have plans for her.
Okay. So we've introduced a sheriff. We've introduced Maggie, the legendary seamstress, both of which are people that Federico is going to be either friends or frenemies with. I'm not sure which.
Well, perfect. That's what NPCs are for. So I'm done. And then she has like her little like home/shop where you can always find her. She's like usually working on something and squinting into the gray sunlight.
Before we move on to the next person real quick, did we, Cody, ever decide if like videos or I'm trying to think of something real quick. If those are like CDs or things were a thing before Eco Herbs?
I don't think you had a way of watching video. I don't think so. Computers weren't to that point yet.
Okay.
Maybe film reel, like maybe projected movies, but you'd have to like have the movie. You know what I mean?
Okay. I got to rethink something. So.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Do you want to tell me what it was and then see if it fits?
No, we'll talk later. Now. Don't worry.
Okay. Okay.
So before we move on from Maggie, can I give Maggie a husband?
Sure.
I want her husband to be, or her husband August to be the 3D printer of the town.
Awesome. So
Maggie does all of the seamstressing. August does all of the like mechanical printing of things that people need. Like if you need a specialized part, and often they work together to make like backpacks and stuff together. Where he'll build like a nice carbon fiber frame for her,
and she'll put the
fabric around it and stuff. So they're kind of like a one-stop shop for backpacking or
for like repair, outdoor repair. Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. I like that. Zach, did you have another person in mind besides that one that you just added?
I will. I'm not counting that as my person because I just tagged on to Caitlin's and I thought that would be a cool idea, but I will.
Okay.
I don't have one this second.
All right. Vinny, person or place?
Problem is I've been too busy listening to you guys. I haven't really been thinking.
Okay. So I have... So my first NPC, her name is Bessie, and she is in charge of the stage. So she's older. Her full name is Bessie Settlemyer. It's my character's mom.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
She is very, very artsy. She's in charge of the stage and the rotation and the schedule there. And she also likes to slot herself in with dramatic readings.
I like that. Love it. I like that. It's cute. Vinny, do you have someone you want to throw on here?
So I'm formulating a thought.
Okay, Caitlin, give us your place.
I didn't have places other than the places that my people worked. Do I need a separate place divorced from NPCs?
I feel like you need one discreet place. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you need a place.
Below the lighthouse area is sort of a cove. And it's got tide pools at low tide. But it's pretty flooded at high tide.
I like that.
And I'll say that in like one season of the year, it has some sort of seafood that's very popular, but otherwise it's not a place that people go to. It's kind of empty.
So I want to add a place, and I'm going to credit this to my brother because it was a cool idea.
Thanks, Cody's brother.
I like the idea of there being a lot of dwelling being underground. Makes sense. You know, it's cooler. You have more room underground. So if you need to fit more people, it's a good thing to do. So I think that was one of the earlier areas built by the Eco-Herb was some underground like warrens, you know. So there is a place called the Warren. It's underground. It is frequently where a lot of young people live, and it really has the vibe because it's all made of wood. It's underground. It's dark and kind of dingy. And there is a lot of like hammock beds. Very much has the vibe. And it kind of like you kind of smell the salt. It really has pirate ship vibes. And this is like frequently like when Pete kids first move out, they end up kind of living down in the Warrens, you know?
It's got a hostel sort of thing, like H-O-S-T-E-L.
Yeah, it has a little bit of like a reputation, like it smells bad, you know, like it's messy.
Of like, that's where the kids go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's a,
you just moved out. You want to feel independent. You go to the Warrens.
There's like more broken, you know, hoverboards or, you know, solar surfboards than there really should be down there. you might get like run into a lot more often. It's kind of it's a little bit of a wild place.
Love it.
So I've got something in my head, but it's kind of it might be stepping on someone else's toes. And I also am not sure how it'll work. Should I just go for it?
Hit us with it. This is brainstorming, you know?
I was just thinking of a library. So somewhere that like knowledge and like a lot, like all the knowledge and stuff about how to run places like this, like books on gardening and books on like just books on little, like everything you need to do to keep the place running. And that could be part of what they teach. Like part of like, they use some of the material from this in the schools. And then I'll start thinking about how it was primarily a very pragmatic place. Like it's meant to be a repository of knowledge. And this is where it starts stepping on someone's toes. Then this young woman starts showing up looking for very more fictional type of things. And they start having to get in very pulpy fictional stories in, and it starts to transform into kind of a hybrid knowledge of repository and some fiction, but it was like not its intended purpose.
It's a library alone.
That's where I ask you, Zach, are you okay with me basically tacking this into your character backstory?
Well, the thing is, at the point of where the story, my character would not be there to request pulp fiction.
Okay. So this is meant to be before we get there kind of thing?
Let me think about that for a second. Let me think about that. Because I think I have a comment.
Maybe that's something that could evolve in the story. Maybe I just stick with it's a repository of knowledge. It's a place that has all of this knowledge that's meant to benefit the eco herb.
You can access data dumps from other eco herbs.
Well, I think in my opinion that like fiction becomes an important way that communities connect.
Now that you can communicate between eco herbs more frequently.
Well, I think it developed the same way.
Sharing fiction is a bigger deal.
Well, I think it developed the same way also books did, where it's when communication was completely dropped, books were easy to send. Like they could send books.
That's true.
You can't send music in the same way because we did not have audio files.
Yeah, it's a smaller file.
Let me maybe make this suggestion. So I like the idea of the archives of the town, which are different than a library, right? This is official records, histories, this kind of thing, right? This is, you know, court documents, council documents. This is where all that stuff is stored, right? But, well, I think that might be two different places then. I think that, you know, maybe like a civic library is like, because Zach talked about there being like living encyclopedias as places in eco-herbs, and I like that idea. I think maybe the town archives might be someplace different, like this dusty basement, you know?
See, I was thinking of somewhere more publicly accessible. When someone needs to look up something for how to handle this particular type of weed, they go there to
find the
horticulture book they need to like, oh, what chemical do we use on it to get rid of it, or how should you deal with it?
Well, and I wonder if kind of like pulp novels are kind of maybe they're like a local thing. Like this is like a local delicacy that Zach's character is going to be missing out on, you know, and now they're trying to have to try to procure, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like little free libraries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if this is strange, too much from your idea, I like the idea that libraries as we know them exist, and they're like very like reference oriented. But the riverboats, however, they're willing to traffic any book that they can get their hands on because they're stuck going up and down the river. And like that means whatever the riverboat captain reads is kind of what's on the boat a lot more often.
So they're like a traveling little free library.
Right. Like they weren't intended to be the libraries, but all of a sudden, like this captain really liked pulp fiction, and now there's 75 pulp fiction novels that he's willing to loan out because he's read them 14 times each.
Right. So when Jim is in town, you get adventure stories. And when Susan is in town, you get fantasy.
Maybe personal ownership of fiction is maybe like kind of expensive. Like you have to spend a lot of money to get a book. Books are kind of inefficient as a way of storing stuff, right? Like a lot of paper and machinery goes into making, like having infinite paper is a luxury that you guys would not necessarily have, right?
Yeah.
So something frivolous, in air quotes, like fiction, right, that you could orally recount or even get digitally in like the internet cafe, maybe that's like a little bit more, those are a lot rarer, right? And so library is really important because it's a way of, you know, minimizing how much you're spending on having all of these stories. But Zach, like you said, maybe the eco orb that your character came from, kind of like Pulp Fiction, this like kind of cheap lowbrow fiction that was printed, is because, you know, maybe you worked in a paper textile, or maybe they got really good at recycling paper and were sitting in a place that had a lot of recycled paper so they could get that. So maybe that's like kind of the library starts looking for that for you because you're wanting to rent those, or maybe you donate a few and that kind of starts a scene. And then, yeah, it's like how the does the library get them, or do you get them, is kind of like up in the air, you know? I like that idea. But I think the library that starts looking for Pulp Fiction is fun.
I have multiple characters for you now, Cody.
Mandy, did you have something you wanted to add at the same time as Vinny? You were saying something, right?
I did.
Okay, so you, then Zach.
Okay, so my initial thought way, way long ago when you asked us to start coming up with this is that I wanted to have a rundown blockbuster that was being reused for something else. But if we don't have videos, then I guess I'm not doing that.
I mean, you can have, because I thought that was where you're...
Can you do like an internet cafe person?
Well, so what I thought about is if we've got like film reels, it's like it's vector rental so that they can rent it out in the space. So it's kind of like a library for that before it was a library. So you can like take it and use it. So there's multiple rooms, which will actually make sense for what it gets used for. So you can like, it's like when you end up taking like, what are those things? And like, it's like microfilm, I think, in like libraries, and you take it and they've got like the special equipment so you can look through it. It's that kind of a situation. And this was like way, 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 way back before eco herbs were even a thing, is there are these vector rental places. You can go into the rooms, watch what you want to watch. It ends up kind of being like a mini movie theater type place, but they've got all of these vector film reels in the main area. So what ends up happening is, you know, the storm goes by, years go by, no one's using this. A lot of it, a lot of the equipment is too old, too damaged. It's not going to make it anymore. But the one thing that is still standing is the V for vector, and that ends up becoming a V for the veterinarian building. The multiple rooms get turned into the different places where they can bring different offices, different you know, rooms to bring animals in. There's also at least one that has like a door from the outside so they can bring in bigger animals if they need to. And it's just totally revamped to be the veterinarian office, which then goes to my second NPC, Dr. Otis Rees. He is about 60 years old at this point, at least when we start playing. He has been the veterinarian for years and years and years and years, and just basically doing what he can. I would say like he didn't get extra training per se. He just knows what he knows from working with animals. He's like a very genial, very sweet old man who's like, his whole life is just, he likes animals way more than people.
All right, Zach, you said you had NPCs.
All right, the first NPC I have is River Larkins. He is the premier artist of Smoky Banks. He specializes in glass blowing.
I like that. Yeah, you're near a lot of sand.
We're near a lot of sand, so glass blowing is kind of unique. He is, you know, middle-aged, vaguely middle-aged, somewhere in that range. I imagine him as like basically the Bob Ross of glass blowing. Like, anyone who wants to learn how to glass blow, he'll be happy to teach them. He is very patient, very kind about all of that. And he's also really, really good at it. People like, he's like, oh, I'll teach you how to glass blow. And all you have to do is simply blow this really complex shape, you know?
Yeah.
And not that he's like demeaning or like not understanding, like he can teach people very well, but it's also just like, oh, let me see your best. And he does these like crazy sculptures when he's just like alone and not teaching people. Like, he's very good at what he does.
I like that. That's a good character. Yeah, like him.
The other character I thought of is Ivy Noxilius. She is the crazy pharmacist of town.
I think we had a Noxilius in Outlaws.
We did.
We did.
We did, and it's a reference on purpose.
Okay.
She is.
Does she make drugs?
No, I imagine her as more of Bones from Star Trek. We're just like very like disgruntled constantly kind of personality where it's just like, I don't want to do this. I like it. Why are you asking me questions? Like, leave me alone. I just want to do my work.
I like that. I like that idea. Grumpy pharmacist.
And if we don't want Noxilius, you know, but I wanted to reference Outlaws because, you know.
No, I'm fine with it. I'm flattered. Flattery will get you everywhere.
In Corsairs, we referenced Vagabonds and Outlaws, I believe we did, and it made me laugh, so.
I like tying in references to our other properties, you know. I specifically picked Noxilius as a pharmacist because
the chemist is always Noxilius.
Yeah, like the mad chemist is always Noxilius, and I think she's mad in this fact that she's like angry, not crazy, you know.
Got it.
So I've come up with an NPC, but I have questions first.
Okay, go for it.
What did we decide for long-distance communications, like from eco-orb to eco-orb? How does that communication work?
Internet cafe.
It is satellite. It requires a specialized equipment that is centralized in the eco-orbs. So it's not in your house, but you can go to an internet cafe.
Is it voice or is it like Morse code?
Voice
and text.
Okay.
Do we not have video? I thought we had video.
That would be like cutting edge. You know what I mean?
Okay. Then this will still work then. I have an idea. I'm going to introduce Elliot. He's a fairly young man who works. That's part of his job is transmitting stuff up to the satellites.
Is he a radar technician?
Yeah, his name is now Matt.
Does he have a sword? No, it can stay Elliot.
I know. I was playing along with your joke, Cody. And he, kind of like what you said before, is like the technology is not there to transmit video and transmit like too complicated of stuff. And so he's basically trying to find ways to make transmission more efficient. And one of the things he did, or is trying to do at least, is he is convinced that he's found a better text encoding than what is currently popular. And he keeps trying to like use it and get it adopted. But, like, nobody's buying it. Like, nobody's...
And it's called Fetch.
Yeah, right.
Keeps trying to make Fetch happen.
Yeah, like, he's trying to use this more efficient text encoding and just not catching on, but he keeps trying.
So this is kind of like, he's like the Betamax of this thing, right? Like, come on, guys, Betamax is better! Like,
kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like one of those things, is like, the best standard is the one that wins.
Yeah.
It's the one that's used, and he's trying to invent a standard that nobody wants to use.
I like that. I like that kind of, like, frustrated Unix guru-looking guy.
Except he's young.
Well, yeah, that's true. Hey, you know, some of those real weird computer science-y people were young. They just had giant beards and somehow looked 80 their entire lives. It's a little bit of a wizardy looking guy. I like that. Has everyone done... Caitlin, I don't think you've done a place yet.
I did a place, remember? It's the place beneath the lighthouse.
Oh, you're right. The tide pools. You're right. All right. Does anyone else have anything else they want to tack on?
I want to add the Smoke and Bone Tavern.
I mean, you can add a tavern. That's fine. We said that there are evening restaurants.
I want it to be called the Smoke and Bone because I don't know why that name is sticking in my head, but I think it's like the barbecue place or the equivalent of like fish barbecue. I don't know what it's called when you barbecue fish.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that would work. I mean, you can grill fish.
It's really big into grilling fish. And I think it's the thing that I made up earlier where they teach you how to grill the fish and you have like...
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hibachi fish grill.
And I think this place is specifically, since it's not culturally, like this place is like you all grill a fish and then you cut up your fish and like you judge each other's fish.
I like that idea. Yeah. Yeah. It's a fun thing.
Where it's like a fishing competition or a cooking competition. And it's kind of like a draw of the tourism. Like locals may not go there a ton.
Yeah.
But tourists always go there.
Yeah, that totally makes sense that it's, you know, like, oh, this is the cuisine of the area, and all of you guys are looking at them like, oh, the weirdos are out here grilling their fish in groups again.
I think it's the thing also where there's like the months of the year where there's less tourism and then the locals go there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like if the, you know, December through February equivalent, you know, locals aren't there, they're like, okay, we can go to the Smoke and Bone finally, and it's actually pretty good food, and I enjoy, like, yeah, cooking against you, but I'm not going to do it with 14 strangers at the same table who've never seen a fish, let alone cooked one.
Is there anything else that we want to establish about the town, just in general?
No, I'm in love with it already.
I want to say, like, if this wasn't clear, I want, like, glass blowing to be, like, the primary art form of the town.
I think there would definitely be a scene for it, for sure, because, like, you know, people kind of congregate around what's there, and it would make sense that that's kind of the medium that's around, you know?
Yeah, I think it's more like, you can see a lot of glass blowing and other stuff. It's not just rivers doing it.
And that's, like, the famous, like, sort of knick-knack that you bring back is,
yeah,
Smokey Banks glass.
Oh, you know what? I think I would add on that really intricate sandcastle building is also pretty common. Because that's super sustainable. It doesn't require any resources. Anyone can do it. There's a big culture around that. Mm-hmm. I love that idea, too. But yeah, as in terms of a thing to bring back, definitely, you know, little glass bone figurines.
It's like tiny little ice sculptures, yeah. Glass sculptures.
Yeah. Well, and those are great, too, because, you know, if they ever get smashed, right? I mean, it's just sand, you know, it's not like...
Right,
you know, it doesn't hold a lot of... It's not like an oil slick.
It doesn't pollute anything.
Yeah, I don't think it's looked down upon in the community either. Like, I think the community members also have a lot of blown glass things around.
Sure, sure.
You know, it's not like the Smoke and Bone where people are like, no, we don't do that when tourists are around. It's like, no, like... Blown glass is around the town.
Well, it's also it's like a practical tool. Like, a lot of things are made of glass. Yeah. All right, Mandy, what's up?
I think there are also tide pools that can catch, like, sea glass in them.
Oh, that's a fun idea. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just, like, an added touristy thing. Like, it doesn't specifically have to do with the glass blowing, but it just, like, it emphasizes, like, glass being a thing that is the... that is of interest for tourists. And it's like, well, you can get the fancy glass blown art that they do, or you can go walk around on a tide pool.
It's
and
like what happens when nature makes art, man.
Yeah.
So since we're a tourist town, can I make it? So the sports thing we have where you set up a sports thing where you have to climb up it or whatever.
The obstacle course.
Yeah. It's like a team-based high score obstacle course completion. Yeah.
I want to argue that there's two teams in Smoky Banks. There's like the regular team that does the obstacle course like on land. And then as a spectacle for tourism, they have one where they do it on water.
I think that, yeah, there would be like aquatic based sports that are a little bit more dangerous. That's like a sign a waiver kind of sport, right?
Right. And I think it's like kind of like the Harlem Globetrotters for basketball.
Oh, like really flashy. Yeah.
It's flashy and not necessarily like they're not trying to get the high score, but it
it's
does
like
look
trick
cool.
Trick stuff. Yeah.
It's like drift racing. Like, is this the most efficient way to go? No, but it looks cool.
Well, and it's like, it's similar to like the like obstacle course still. You know, like, they do it, like, in theme with what
it's
this
like
year.
A show,
yeah,
but in theme with the obstacle course for that year.
Where it's like, oh, yeah, this obstacle this year is, like, hurdling over 14 obstacles and then swinging up a tower. It's like, well, now we're going to surf around 14 obstacles and swing up a tower, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
And then scale right. The lighthouse, yeah.
No, I like that idea. Water-based obstacle courses that people watch. Or, you know, it's like, yeah, you can participate. You can rent a board. Get ready for some sprained ankles or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to add, because there's so much I want to add.
I like that real subtle no from Caitlin that no one gets to hear on the audio. Is there anything else I should add? Caitlin's shaking her head, staring at Zach.
Caitlin's like, no, we've been recording for 2 hours.
Look, we got really in the weeds with a few things. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to specify up front about the town. I don't think there is. Some of it you guys are going to find out organically. Some of it's you're not, so that's fine.
Are there any weird pets that this town has?
Pets?
I think, yes, Mandy pets. Should introduce that if that happens.
That's what I was asking. I don't have an idea. I was just asking, like, is there, like, a certain pet that is, like, more unique to our town?
I have nothing specific. I have thoughts on pets, but that will probably end up being revealed more during...
That's more about your character. I would say pets exist. They, I think, can be... as diverse as you would imagine, because I think they are things separate from the livestock of the town. Like, pets are not there to sustain humans physically, they're there to sustain them emotionally, so they don't have to fit into the ecosystem as well, right? So, you know, domesticated animals that are there to snuggle with are different than domesticated animals that are there to eat. So yeah, you can have pets, but I think that then that's up to you if you want to have a specific kind of pet that's, you know, that does not have to be as sensical. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because it'd be a much lower population. Okay, I think we're going to call this good. So next week, we'll start with character introductions, and then we're going to be into actually playing the game of Wanderlust, finally, which I am so excited for. Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.